We start.
Management commentary.
Yes. Thank you, Hans. Good afternoon, everybody. So we are now moving to agenda paper 15, which we present here today as a sort of roadmap for the revision of management commentary practice statement. So we are here to basically explain what we've already done and, probably more importantly, how we are planning to develop our recommendations for the board going forward. So when, just to remind you, when the board took on the project, it noted that the focus of this project would be to talk about the role of management commentary as part of broader financial reporting, which would be to provide context for financial statements and additional insights into an entity's long-term prospects. And because management commentary is part of financial reporting, the revision will very much focus and concentrate on providing information for primary users of financial reports, that is, for potential and existing investors, lenders, and other creditors. So paragraphs 8 to 16 of this paper summarize the reason for revising the practice statement and what the revision is intended to achieve. So what we've seen since the practice statement was issued, that there have been numerous developments in the field of wider corporate reporting. And on the one hand, they brought some innovation which the board may consider including into the practice statement so that it is in keeping with users' needs. But on the other hand, it also created a very confusing and complex landscape for preparers because on the one hand, they might need to meet broadly specified national requirements and they might not have enough guidance to meet those requirements, while on the other hand, there are numerous industry-specific or subject matter-specific frameworks and it's not quite clear how they can be used in the when preparing management commentaries. We have always also heard that there are still some gaps in reporting practice, and we list them in paragraph 12. And the most common that we keep hearing about is that management commentaries still tend to focus on short-term, or that they are too general and do not focus on those matters that underpin the long-term success of entities. We've also heard that they can be fragmented and they do not give all information needed for investors to make their assessments. What we also heard is that users increasingly need information that complements financial statements and provides insight into long-term prospects and, for example, information on unrecognized intangibles. With all this in mind, the revision of the practice statement will focus on better meeting information needs of primary users. That is, on providing information that would help them assess cash flows to the entity and management stewardship of the entity's economic resources. What we intend to do is to provide guidance that would consolidate innovations in narrative reporting where this is necessary, and importantly, to address gaps that I've just talked about. We think that the guidance will remain principle-based, but it might need expanding to provide sufficient detail to support rigorous application of that guidance. And we hope that by revising guidance in this way, we would help entities navigate this complex reporting landscape, because by providing that guidance, it might help them satisfy broadly specified requirements in some jurisdictions. And also, if they prepare management commentaries in accordance with that guidance, they can also use those industry-specific or subject matter-specific frameworks like CCFD or SASB, because they can use them to provide specific or disclosures that would be needed to meet the objective of management commentaries. So how we are going to approach the revision is we will start with the existing practice statement. So we are not starting with a blank sheet of paper. We will try to fill in the gaps, update it, and clarify if something is unclear. We will consider our findings of our research into narrative reporting guidelines and also into practice. We will also look at documents issued after by the board after the practice statement that is on the revised conceptual framework and materiality practice statement. And very importantly, we will use input from the board's consultative group, and in particular from the management commentary consultative group, which was established specifically to advise the board on this project. As I said, in developing our recommendation, we expect to retain the existing approach on providing guidance based on principles, so we do not expect to prescribe detailed list of requirements for what should be included in management commentary. However, I think that the existing guidance might be a bit too high level and might not provide enough detail. So we will suggest expanding it to help management identify what information should be included and how it should be included so that information is useful to users. Based on our research to date and discussions with the consultative group, we think that that additional guidance will need to be provided on the objective of management commentary on how to apply quality statistics of useful financial information in preparing management commentaries and on content elements. We've already discussed with you last November the objective, and the board broadly agreed that the objective would be to provide context for financial statements that is useful for primary users' assessments. Large part of our discussion will be focused on guidance on specific content elements, and just as a reminder, content elements is just a type of information that we expect to be included in management commentaries, and although we propose to structure it in a certain way, what it doesn't mean that all entities will have to structure their management commentaries in the same way, so all guidance that we will be including will be there to serve as a basis for identifying information to include in management commentary. But perhaps one other point is that although we will discuss those content elements separately, they're all interrelated, and one of the themes that we'll be picking up in most of our discussion with the board probably is this idea of narrative coherence, that if you identify that something is important for an entity, you have to discuss it throughout management commentary. So this is probably the main ideas that we are trying to convey in this paper, and we would like to hear whether you have any comments or suggestions on how we should go about developing our recommendations.
Thanks, Hans. Again, an excellent paper from staff. I really like, and the thing that I like, it's a very short paper, but with a very strong content.
Thank you, Mark. We tried really hard to do that.
Yeah, but the content is quite significant. I really like. I think this project, we it's really one of the key projects for us. And I have actually questions. One question and one suggestion that I simply think you forgot to mention, and I know this is very a summary, very high level, but when I read the paper, it mentions in various paragraphs the ESG as one of the components. So for one that's not really accompanying fully the project, can be read as ESG gaining more prominence than others, and I don't think this is the case, right? We are looking at everything that we have. So I just would like to confirm with that, because in almost every paragraph where you mention what we intend to do, ESG is the framework that is mentioned. So I'm right to assume that it's just an example.
It is an example, and we use it so often simply because it is so widely discussed, and people. So here, where we use it, we wanted to say that these matters will be discussed, but only if they can influence users' decisions.
Excellent.
And specifically, the assessments of future cash flow. So.
Excellent. Thank you. On the other suggestion again, paragraph 18, when you mentioned staff will consider in C2 other consultative groups. I guess it's important to include EEG here, Emerging Economies Group. So just to not to, to, I know we are going to consider, but it's important to refer to the EEG as well. Thank you.
Nick.
Like Amara, I think this is a very good overview of where we've got to and reflects very well lots of the input we've had from the consultative group and the themes that have come through from that, and brings it together, I think, for the board in a kind of, again, coherent package to get that sense of the overview, which I know we've talked about before, not quite sure what that looks like, and now we have a better idea, so congratulations on that. I think just to go back to the issue of ESG, and for me it's actually ENS, because I think governance issues tend to be very well dealt with already. The reason why that, I think, perhaps does get prominence, and also intangibles, is that that's what we're hearing from the consultative group, is where the gaps are that the financial statements can't deal with naturally. And so in some respects this is responding to consumer demand, and while we shouldn't isolate them, you know, intangibles is just one of the resources that a group has. I think it's partly thinking about the marketing, thinking about what we've heard about where the gaps are, and reflecting those in the project as much as anything else.
Gary.
Thank you. Likewise, a very concise and compelling statement. I think it's consistent with where we've been on the project from start to finish, and I think the consultative group confirmed it. So well written, we support the direction and staff's recommendations. I think we should keep in mind there's a high demand out in our constituency markets out there for this project. And, you know, certainly everyone in the corporate reporting dialogue is fully supportive of it. They don't necessarily all see it quite the same way, but I think in general we say we're going to keep it principles based. The CRD and other members out, and other, you know, constituents out there, they've got plenty of details they can provide. So if, for example, in your risks, environmental cleanup is a material factor long term, that's not in financial statements, there's plenty of guidance out there of what you should say or could say about it. I think we don't need to fill in those details. I think we've been there with the consultative groups. There's plenty, we would just be redundant to what's out there. We don't want to become an expert on what are the elements of strategy, you know, for example, we should put in. The one thing I think is missing is probably the wrong word, but when I look at starting at the bottom of page 10, we're going to focus on models, strategy, risks, operating environment, performance. The question is, how do we close this document out with a conclusion? I mean, if the vision is we're going to give you information to help you assess long-term value creation or short-term value creation or whatever else you want it to be, the question is, what is the target you're trying to have when they read all this stuff and presumably be organized and coherent and useful? But what do you want them to conclude out of reading all this? You have great opportunities for long-term value creation, poor opportunities. Where does it close out? You know, kind of like, what is your, I don't think we should put a summary in it, but, or a conclusion, but we've got to be thinking in terms of that's what the reader's going to be trying to do. And we should organize the document consistent with what the conclusions they're going to probably want to try to make with it.
Mm-hmm. Mary?
Reading this paper reminded me again of what a challenge that the staff has in terms of a project that, as Gary said, many people, that they have a high demand for this, and they come and they express that demand with maybe quite a range of things that they hope it accomplishes. So I think you guys have got to be the kind of ultimate personal trainers for the board in terms of keeping this project focused. And not letting it sprawl, and I think that may relate a bit to what Gary was saying about how do you bring it to conclusion? Because when I look at paragraph 23, You say that the objective is to provide context for for understanding financial statements by providing primary users with historical financial and operating information and analysis. I then struggle when I see other paragraphs, and I take paragraph 29 as an example, about helping the entity identify and report matters that underpin the entity's long-term success. You know, how do you relate what we say in paragraph 23 about the objective to long-term success factors? I don't think it rules it out, but I think we have to, I think many people who might read this or something like this as a summary of what we are thinking of doing may say, great, that's everything that I'm trying to accomplish in an ESG project or in any, you know, any wide range of commentary projects. So I think in terms of keeping it focused and true to that objective, you're going to have to exert a lot of discipline. And we maybe have to start messaging about it so that there isn't this crashing disappointment when we finally have, when we have a document that we expose that maybe doesn't have all the things that people thought, you know, their specific interest would be covered. So I think that there's some expectations management along with discipline. And I think one of the things that I was reminded is that our conceptual framework, both which we issued 2018, is new since the original management commentary was issued. And so I think there's an opportunity with a single conceptual framework and much more discipline about the terms and the objectives that we have in that document, to use that to give maybe more discipline as we revise the existing management commentary document, because that talks about the needs of primary users of financial reports. And it does say financial reports, not financial statements, because we had in mind that it's financial statements plus something like the management commentary. And I think we have to keep harping on who those people are. It's not every stakeholder. It might be useful to others, but it's, you know, we are focused on those primary users and reiterating who they are. And I think making the link between the objective in paragraph 23 and the information that we think should be covered, and how the qualitative characteristics of reporting in terms of relevance and of usefulness, and then the enhancing qualitative characteristics will help us deal with kind of looser terms that might have been in the original that paragraph 19 talks about X is important. Well, what does important mean? You know, and so I think without becoming too techy or too narrow a document, I think that we can use the conceptual framework for discipline, because I think that is going to be the real challenge. And I know I had some back and forth with staff about this paper in advance of the meeting, because I was concerned that it was going too broad, and you had some very, very good points you bring out. But I think others will read this and think it's broader than we intend it to be. So when you ask about comments, think about how we make the linkage to the information needs and the objectives that are primarily historical cost, historic financial information, not historical cost, historic financial information. It's interesting that in the previous session, when we were talking about the disclosure initiative, we did touch several times on the question of what's the boundary of financial reporting. And when I hear comments like, well, can we use the management commentary to fill the gaps left by financial reporting, I think that starts to strain at the idea of providing context for understanding the financial statements. It's not in conflict with it, but if for one reason or another we can't cover something in the financial statements, why does it then become possible when we get to the management commentary? Now, there may be an extent to which we discuss things that are important that don't get recognized and measured in the financial statements and don't get disclosed in the financial statements. But I think that's when we have to start setting off warning alarms about are we going too far if the objective is what's expressed in paragraph 23. So I don't rule it out, but I think we just have to relate it back to the objective of this project and the objective of financial reporting in the conceptual framework and the qualitative characteristics.
You've touched on something that we'll be proposing to address in the next paper when we come on to the qualitative characteristics, because that link to the objective for the management commentary that we've discussed is essential because otherwise there is no control on scope. It's a question that we may be coming back to you throughout the project as we deal with each of the content elements, that actually it may be valid to emphasise that scope and focus for each of the content elements as well as a qualitative characteristic.
Mm-hmm. Nick?
I'm just trying to square the circle with what Mary has just said in terms of intangibles, because I guess a number of things. A company's only going to produce one management commentary, and in there we'll need to talk about the totality of those things that create value. I think if we have unrecognised intangibles, I would still see those as being commented upon, talked about in the management commentary, and that complementing the financial statements insofar as those are part of the resources of the entity that generate future cash flows. So I think we have to, if we start to say just because an asset or a liability isn't, and I may not have understood you correctly.
I don't mean it as narrowly as that, okay, but just a broad objective of complementing with all the stuff that we don't put into financial statements is the other side of the spectrum too broad. So I think we have to get,
we need to be
careful.
Right place on the spectrum. Yeah. I accept that, yeah.
John Will.
Thank you. I have the total same idea as Nick just explained with Mary's point. There is some kind of a constraint of this management commentary. In the case of intangible resources, as you hear, you suggest here in paragraph 29A, so intangible resources can be covered any every places, you know. So financial statement on primary financial statements, it will be daily recognized. Then they'll be on the primary. If they are not recognized, then they'll be in the notes. And some other intangible resources will be on this management comment. And some additional intangible something maybe will be presented in other places, maybe some here is a wider corporate report, sometimes some kind of thing. So that's why this is one popular item among many stakeholders. So I would like to suggest a unique kind of a clarification of the what intangible resources you are going to deal with in this management commentary. So that would be the one suggestion. Another thing is in the paragraph 7, we have two Venn diagrams here. So we are dealing with the intersection of these two circles. So that is a kind of has some implication on the what intangible resources we are going to deal with in the management commentary. That's just my first idea.
I think we'll come to that in particular when we discuss the business model as a content element. So we've discussed with the consultative group definitions of resources and relationships and how we sort of keep that scope applicable to the objective of the management commentary. So we do recognise there's a risk there and are working hard to address it.
One more thing, actually, that I prefer. Amaro said I like this concise report, rather long one, but you have everything here, so it's really nice to think about, for us to think about the more details about your proposals. One thing in paragraph 17, you listed many organizations that are developing this kind of a standard, but one item that very I'm interested in is German accounting standard number 20. Mm-hmm. So when this accounting standard was issued, it's a long time ago, quite recently.
It was issued since after our practice statement.
Yes. Mm. Oh, it's very interesting because this accounting standards board, there is dealt with this management commentary as well as our in the management commentary. So very interesting, maybe some kind of comparison with the idea here and ours, if there are similarities or differences between this German accounting standard number 20.
Well, going forward in our papers that we will be bringing, right, we will look, and probably not just a German standard, but we will be looking at other frameworks and guidelines, and we will try to bring the common themes and what is the spectrum of guidance in them. So, yes.
Martin?
First, to look at the German standard is a good benchmark.
Yeah, sure.
When it was developed, I was on the board. But it was not my fault. On the scope, also mein, on when I read paragraph 23, mein, I still struggle if the it reads that objective is the same as for our financial statements. And when it is the same, I ask the question, okay, when we have some information in the practice statement, why it is not in the financials and other ways around. So I think we need something different, because otherwise it is hard to say, okay, what goes into management commentary and what goes into financial statements if the objective is identical. Mm-hmm. And to say it's kind of give content, I think, is not sufficient. I think we need something more where we say, okay, why is specific information we given going into a practice statement and why not in financial statements? For example, this intangibles. Maybe there is an argument because in financial statements we don't have it because we have measurement uncertainty we don't recognize, but then we can disclose it. So why not disclosing it in the financial statements? Why does it go into the management commentary? And we have to find an answer, I think, to do. Mm-hmm. So that kind of objective to answer future question, why certain information goes into financials, why it goes into management commentary, and why not at all. And that is, for me, still not clear, and I think we have to do a little bit more work on.
Yes, that's why we noted that you asked us to do that, and we are thinking about
it. It's still open.
We promise you.
Just before the session, we had a discussion on this. Okay. Ongoing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, ciao.
Thank you, yes. Generally, I agree with the direction of the project, and also agree that the project should start from our conceptual framework. Just one clarification about the guidance, because we discussed about the guidance in paragraph 28 and 29, and also give example in the 30, paragraph 30. One thing I'm not very clear, because we say we are going to still keep the four content element, and in the paragraph 29 said that we are going to develop guidance based on each content element separately. But based on the example given in the paragraph 30 and the question, you know, the guidance for guidance in the paragraph 29, A, B, C, D, you illustrate, it seems that we are bringing those four elements together to develop guidance. Is it? So I'm not very clear. What guidance we are going to develop?
So we will be developing guidance and discussing to you based on this content elements, because we have to find some sort of structure for guidance in the practice statement. And it is essentially how it is structured now. It is also structured about content elements. But what we mean, at the same time, we don't want to say that if we propose the guidance on strategy, business model, risks, and performance position progress, it doesn't mean that that's how management commentary should appear, that the entity should separately discuss its business model, then move on to strategy, and then move on to risk and all of that. What we want to emphasize is that although we provide guidance in a certain way, this is to help people identify what they should be talking about. But so if they identify some sort of important thing, some important resource that underlies their whole business, it doesn't mean that they should separately talk about it in just business model. What we want them to do is to talk about it comprehensively throughout management commentary. So we also want them to discuss how they're going to manage that resource, what is their strategy for that, how it can be affected by risks that the entity faces, and also to report how their strategy is being implemented for managing that resource. So it is a difficult thing, because we do expect that all those elements will be covered in the end, because the entity has to discuss how its business is organized. It will discuss its strategy. But we cannot prescribe a particular format for doing so. That is up to entities to figure out how they want to do that.
Tom.
Just a quick question on paragraph 10. This has always been floating at the periphery of what we're doing. You say the developments in this evolving area of reporting have brought innovations such as value creation that may need. Where are we on the may?
Well, it's probably up to you to decide. We will bring you the ideas that have been floating around, and it's up to the board to decide whether they want to explicitly to refer to value, for example, value creation, or to create something that conveys the same idea, or maybe you will decide that you don't want to see it in your practice statement at all. So we will pick up the themes that emerged in those all those initiatives and all those frameworks and guidelines.
Because my one comment, I'm a bit sympathetic to it, but I'm also cautious about what Mary cautioned us about, is value creation, if you get in certain discussions of business model or strategy, could really focus on value creation. Other ones could be just more narrative, just this is our strategy and just kind of a description of what you do, as opposed to linking everything to a clear creating value model. So it's quite a different version of strategy if we were to adopt that. And so I think it's just I noted here, I think it's a fairly big decision as we go down.
Yeah, and I think if I can just add, value creation is interpreted as a term in a number of ways within wider corporate reporting. A narrow interpretation of it aligns, I would say, quite well with the conceptual framework, focus on future net cash inflows, but the broader interpretations of it, you would probably say to us, well, those should be out of scope. So it is partly a question of terminology. With something like value creation, we don't expect that we're going to be proposing a broadening beyond what is implied by the conceptual framework. But it is, we've heard from the consultative group that's language that would help people to provide the longer term focus that provides insight into cash flows that are some way out into the future. So that's the sort of balance of language that we would expect to be taking to you as we progress.
Okay. Any more comments, questions? Okay. Thank you.